Part 23, Chapter 4. Johnny watched Stormalong's old orbit miner come in. A sentry turned off the atmosphere armor shield and let the plane through, and they turned it back on. There was always a faint sizzle from it when the power went on, but after that it was silent. Aside from some luckless birds and insects that hit it and sometimes left a feather or feelers, one wouldn't know it was there. All pilots had had to be warned, and a complex set of guard signals had had to be developed lest some pilot crash his ship. Stormalong put the old ship alongside a metal pulverizer. The Cyclos used a device which first softened metal by breaking down its molecular cohesion and then let it go through armored rollers that really tore it apart and smashed it. The result was a metal powder so fine that if one threw a handful into the air, a lot of it stayed there, like fine dust. The Cyclos needed it that way for part of their fuel and ammunition processes. Using the ship's own cranes, the co-pilot began unloading the catch into the metal pulverizer. Stormalong got out and came over.
55 tons this trip,
he said smugly.
There's plenty up there, trapped in orbit. Think we'll need any more?
Johnny wasn't sure. He had been on to other things. They walked down into the compound to verify. One of the Buddhist communicators came up. They had a way of moving which always intrigued Johnny. They would put their right hand into their left sleeve and their left hand into their right sleeve, and then they would move their feet in a sort of fast trot shuffle. Their shoulders didn't bob. The result made them look like they were floating or scooting. Until yesterday, many had continued to wear their reddish-yellow robes. These and their shaven heads made them too easy to single out from above. A huge batch of packages and uniforms had come in from Ivan. People there had been reworking cloth sent to them from some looms now operating in Luxembourg. They were green uniforms with an armored aluminum helmet, also green. Johnny supposed that all their forces would be in these soon. The Buddhist was wearing his now. He bowed, always a bow, and handed Johnny a package. He was so very sorry. There was so much in, distribution was delayed. Johnny bowed back. It was contagious. He and Stormalong walked on through the compound looking for Angus. Johnny was opening his package. It was from Ivan. A helmet, plain green like everyone else's. Ear pads put on that would lift. There was a letter, some coordinator had written it for Ivan, on top of the helmet.
Dear Marshal Johnny, your village people arrive and are very happy, and so are we. Dr. Allen got the old man Jimson off some weed he was eating, and he looks like he will live. Your people all say, how do you do? Hello. Tom Smiley also says, how do you do? Hello. Your horses got shipped over here, and they are now learning to speak Russian. Joke. But they are fine. I worked on Blodgett, and she can run pretty good now. You must always look after horses. We got the Buddhist library down deep now, and it's safe. On the helmet, I wish I could tell you I had an angel visit me the night before you left. They told me you had to wear it. Your letter thanking me is received with embarrassment. I was not trying to save your life, but I would any time anyway. So I can't accept your gratitude. It was no angel. I just knew that in those high mountains you can freeze your...
Scratched out?
Ears off. This helmet is less conspicuous. I didn't even put a star on it. Give my best to Chrissy when you write. I hope somebody's looking after your clothes. Your comrade, Ivan, colonel commanding Russian base until you can dig up some Americans.